Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today on Let's Face the Issues, the situation last week with the false phony impeachment hearings. Fortunately, thankfully, there was a not guilty verdict, if you will, that was rendered by the Senate. But there were a lot of things taking place that was behind the scenes with a lot of, as the old cliche used to call it, skullduggery taking place. That is lying, deception, and cheating in trying to force the issue to impeach President Donald Trump. Congressman, let me ask you, and then Greg can respond, if Greg is still with us, can respond to it. Well, they made the accusation and the impeachment charge was made. It was a fraudulent trumped up, but they were trying to impeach a non-president, He was already out of office, and yet the impeachment proceeded. What does that bode for the average citizen if that can take place then? Could it be that they could enforce some type of procedure like that on the average citizen? Congressman, what is your response? And then Greg, respond to that.
Well, of course, what they did was completely wrong, utter nonsense. The Constitution makes it clear that you impeach a sitting president, that you impeach a sitting legislator or public official, not someone who has already left office. But with this cabal, they didn't care. They weren't following the Constitution in the first place, and they had no intentions of doing that. If you go all the way back to the first impeachment, where they were trying to impeach President Trump for colluding with the Russians and interfering with our elections, they knew that was a complete lie. And it was proven that it was a lie. And they proceeded with it anyway. These people have no shame. They have no compulsion to tell the truth. And that is one of the reasons why the U.S. Congress has one of the lowest ratings ever. I think their approval rating is at 13%. And those 13% who approve of it, I would have them examined. Why on earth would you approve of someone or something that does not stand for the truth, does not stand for justice? The whole purpose of the impeachment process was to bring justice, to correct a wrongdoing. And they were doing the exact opposite. There was no wrongdoing. And they were trying to declare guilty something or someone who is innocent, a complete perversion of our Constitution and what it stands for.
Yes, Congressman and Greg, hold on a minute. I believe we have Tom on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir, Dr. Youngblood. I think you've really covered the subject. The Democrats have set a precedent. They've stolen an election, they've lied, they've cheated, but I just don't think that a dialogue is going to bring them back to center where they're going to do right. They've set too much, they've got away with too much for too long. They're so emboldened, they remind me of the communists. No dialogue with a communist has ever won. I think there's force will be the only thing that they will acquiesce to. I don't think any type of dialogue. They're not going to obey any law. They're just so hell-bent on their agenda and their narrative that you're wasting your time to try to talk to them.
You're probably,
all they're going to do is violate more laws.
You're probably correct on that, Tom. Greg, how do you respond to that statement?
Well, once we've gone down the road of impeachment, of course, the impeachment about private citizen versus president, obviously that's already been covered. That's an unconstitutional act on their part. But the notion of impeachment on the basis of incitement to insurrection.
Tom, if you would, turn your radio down, please. Go ahead.
The impeachment based on incitement to insurrection, that's something that, you know, when free speech is used, and you know, the only point that they made that pointed to an incitement really was, you know, was there fraud in the election? You know, Trump saying there's fraud in the election. Well, we got officials that say there's not fraud in the election. Well, if there's fraud in the election, and I believe there is, and I believe massive evidence has been shown of a dozen different types of fraud. Now let's spend some time, you know, analyzing down that path. But it's kind of the old notion of you can't shout fire in a theater. Except for when there's actually fire in the theater. So, you know, they never examined, is there fire in the theater? Or they took the secretaries of state, you know, like in Georgia, Roethlisberger, whatever his name, he says, hey, everything's good. Okay, so one man says it's good, but we have 50 IT professionals that say otherwise, and they've sworn affidavits. We have witnesses that have sworn affidavits. We have, you know, right down the list. These are individuals that could face criminal penalties if they've lied. You know, is it worthwhile to go and investigate that? But let's set that aside for a moment. Those words that were seen as incendiary words, were those similar words not used, actually much more inflammatory words, by Ms. Harris before she became vice president? She, back in 2020, while flames were erupting around the United States, she said that these riots, these protests, they shouldn't end. They're not going to end, and they shouldn't end, even after the election. She used words like that. Is that okay? How about, you know, Nancy Pelosi, people will do things kind of thing, or that governor that said it's a summer of love. You know, we had Washington, D.C. under assault, and these individuals were not willing to do anything. And then the lead up to the January 6th protest, we see evidence that things were planned prior, that were criminal acts planned prior, yet they used his speech on that day to say that he called for it. You stop. So if there is a premeditated state on the part of bad actors, are you going to say that Trump's words on the 6th are what made that premeditated state come into existence? That's absurd. That's completely absurd. And then we get to the fact that staffers for Harris and for Biden were bailing criminals out during 2020 that were committing riotous acts, protest, setting things ablaze. Well, hold on just a second here. If we use similar rules, then half of Congress would be subject to the same impeachment, the same fraudulent impeachment that they've just perpetrated upon our last president.
Absolutely. Well, Tom, thank you so much for your call and for your input, for your insight as to what's taking place. Congressman, let me turn it over to you and ask you a question. Greg just touched on the fact that they knew before the speech of President Trump on the 6th of January that some things nefarious was in the works. Are you familiar with that, and how can you address that?
Yes, I am familiar with that, of how information has come forward now that it was provided to not only the mayor of D.C., but to law enforcement officials that there was going to be this protest at the Capitol. They knew it was going to happen. And everyone knows at this point that they were at the Capitol while President Trump was still speaking, before President Trump said the words, go to the Capitol and peacefully protest and make it known that you do not like this election, this sham election. Even before he said those words, there were already people at the Capitol. And so they knew that it was going to happen, and they did nothing about it. Greg is absolutely correct. And a lot of people seem to forget this too, Dr. Youngblood, that on the night of President Trump, when he was confirmed as the nominee, the Republican nominee, as attendees were leaving the White House, they were harassed and attacked by Antifa, Black Lives Matters, and others on the left as they were going back to their hotel rooms. Nothing was done to them at that time. Not a thing. Nobody was arrested for assault and assault and battery. And here it is, a president who's using his First Amendment rights, freedom of speech, simply telling people to peacefully protest, that they think that that is grounds for impeachment, using his First Amendment right.
Absolutely. That's the thing, Congressman and Greg, that I am so adamantly opposed to and concerned about, is the aspect of the First Amendment. And this literally eviscerates our First Amendment. This destroys religious liberties. This destroys the potentiality of the future of America, of our speech being free. They're now trying to institute more and more restrictions on what is called hate speech. Constitution doesn't address hate speech. Who's to determine what is hate speech? But because they did not want Nancy Pelosi to be a witness, because Nancy Pelosi knew the facts, I'm looking at an article that says, here's why the Democrats didn't want Trump's legal team to call in Pelosi to testify in the sham impeachment trial. The House impeachment managers folded Saturday morning and backed off witnesses after Trump's legal team announced that Speaker Pelosi would be called to testify. The reason why the Democrats didn't want Pelosi to testify is because they knew that she knew that the planned attacks on the Capitol were way beforehand. Further, the article says the FBI, the NYPD, and the USCP had prior knowledge of the plans for violence at the U.S. Capitol, including intel threatening murder of police officers. If this was planned, if this attack was planned, you can't accuse President Trump of inciting a spontaneous attack when it was planned days and days and days before his speech. And the article goes, it's about a 3-page article, but it outlines what they knew. In fact, there was a suggestion that there was a need to call in the National Guard to protect the Capitol prior to the rally taking place, prior to Trump's speech, and yet the mayor of D.C. and Nancy Pelosi and the left wing of the what I call the Socialist Marxist BLM Democratic Communist Party refused to allow that to take place. In fact, an FBI agent even said that there was a need for it because there was planned insurrection incidents to take place, end quote. And yet they claimed that that was because of Trump's speech. And the point being, if they can take a free speech, the free exercise of our speech, the First Amendment right, and they can do this to President Trump, they can do it to any American citizen in the future based on what they want to call unacceptable speech or hate speech, etc. Greg, how do you respond to that?
Well, you know, you being the Black Robe Patriot and all, you'd sound almost like a conspiracy theorist if it weren't for the fact that you've got a stack of proof. When you've got evidence that this seems to be a two-party conspiracy, and part of the conspiracy was, we're going to let this thing happen, boys. You know, the optics of this is going to be bad for Donald Trump, so we're going to let it happen. You had governor after governor, leftist governor after leftist governor, that refused National Guard support in their communities when their communities were on fire. But, you know, the politics of it was, this looks bad for Donald Trump. And when the sergeant of arms for the House says, hey, you know, we need the guard to roll, we need troops here to make sure things don't get out of hand, we're seeing threats. And Pelosi and Schumer, I guess, and the D.C. mayor decide, nope, we're not going to let that happen. That's because there's a plan. And when you have individuals that walk, protesters, that the doors are flung open wide and hundreds are allowed to run into the Capitol while the D.C. police and others, Capitol Police, are there on premise, on site, can be seen, and they don't even stand in the way. They just let them rush in. You know, something's going on, and it does sound a lot like a two-part conspiracy on the left. And again, typically, you know, I don't give in to a lot of these conspiracies because there are a lot of them that fly around. But this looks like it was an intended negative event to color Donald Trump in the worst kind of light, and then to, of course, incite another impeachment. But by the way, once you've impeached an individual that's no longer the president, why not impeach him again? I mean, can they not just keep impeaching him and keep putting him on trial?
That's their plan. You know, that's their plan. Absolutely their plan.
Now, I'm going to say this, and it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander. If we had Donald Trump on tape saying that he was going to withhold $1 billion of support from the Ukrainians unless they did X, Y, or Z, wouldn't they impeach him? Even if they found that, you know, 2 years later, wouldn't they impeach him for that? Well, I guess we need to have Joe Biden impeached, because that's exactly what he did, and it's on tape. The whole world has seen it. The whole world knows about it. Why? I mean, it's the absurdity of it all. Everything has become politics. There's no longer a right and wrong. There's no longer a constitutional governance. I mean, the current president of the United States has signed, I believe, 50-some-odd executive orders. He has made it a tyrannical rule of king rather than a rule of law. Where is our good governance? It has gone out the window.
Congressman, what is your response to that, and what are your insights on that? Then we'll want to turn the page for a moment after you've given your insights on that and go back to the point that I started with in the monologue today. When I sat and watched, when I heard the words and saw the senators stand one by one, and they weren't allowed to say yay or nay, it was either the words guilty or not guilty. I want to look at that from a biblical perspective as to what took place there and what that bodes for Christians in America today. But Congressman, go on with your thoughts about what Greg just said.
Well, Greg is absolutely right. You know, where does it stop once you throw the law out the window and you decide you are going to do what you want to do instead of what the law says, and you know that you're not going to be challenged, at least not challenged by the existing rule of law that is in place. They have demonstrated that they can get away with practically murder. They can get away with it and continue down their road of lawlessness. It is an abdication of responsibility, of your constitutional authority, and we find that they don't care. As long as their ends, they have accomplished what they wanted to do. They want to destroy President Trump and his family. In fact, Senator Mitch McConnell has alluded to that they may go after some civil citations against him, some criminal allegations against him. And Mitch McConnell is a disgrace.
Absolutely.
Not just as a Republican, but as a senator, for even bringing that up and wanting to go down that route. And you're right, as Greg said, if you're going to do that to someone who's not even in office, how about going after President Biden, who we know has committed a treasonous act, not only colluding with Ukraine, but also with Communist China? He should be impeached.
Absolutely. I believe we have Joseph on the line. Joseph, go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. I've enjoyed the conversation. My only issue is there's always two sides to every story, and I know probably an hour is not enough for a debate on this issue, but, you know, I totally agree with you guys, and I just like to have a balanced, hear both sides of the story type presentation.
Joseph, what other side of the story are you looking for? What are your thoughts when you make that statement?
To have on a radical liberal Democrat who's willing to discuss the issue and give their side, why they believe what they believe.
Joseph,
we just saw day after day of that.
That's right.
An impeachment trial on national display, and the phone lines are open. If you're a radical leftist and you think you've got some constitutional explanation or deeper understanding, call in, folks. We're waiting on that one.
Absolutely. Joseph, with all due respect for your statement, that would be like sitting down and having a conversation with the devil. And you go back to Genesis chapter 3, where Adam and Eve were there, and Satan said, yea, hath God said. It is the challenge of the truth of the Word of God. And in this case, it will be the challenge of what is truth, what is evidentiary truth that they have denied and rejected and tried to bias in the hearing and in the postulation of their case before the Senate. But I understand what you're saying. Joseph, thank you so much for your call. Congressman, when I think of the voice votes of guilty or not guilty, I think about 1 Kings chapter 21. King Ahab wanted Naboth's vineyard because it was close to the palace. Naboth said, it's an inheritance. I'm not going to sell it. I'm not going to exchange it, because the king had said, I'll either buy it or I'll give you a better piece or a larger piece of property for it. I'm giving the analogy of it. And Naboth said no. The king was wroth. The king was angry. Went upstairs, went to the palace bedroom, and was facing the wall, the scripture says, and bemoaning the fact that he couldn't get the vineyard. Jezebel, of all people, came in and says, why, you're the king, and you can't do that. I can do what you can't do. And it shows the absolute control there under the, rather than under the king, it was under the queen, Jezebel. But nevertheless, the whole point being in the quick fast forward for the story. She had false witnesses against Naboth, brought him to a hearing and found him guilty, had him stoned to death to steal his vineyard. And Elijah the prophet told them that God was going to judge them. And I'm doing a fast-forward overview of it. And God told Ahab and Jezebel that he was going to judge them. It took 3 years for Jezebel to face the judgment where Elijah told her that God said the dogs were going to lick her blood. And that took place. And Ahab, the dog was going to lick his blood. And the dogs were going to eat her body. And it took 20 years for justice to God's justice to finally fall. And the point that I make with that analogy for our listening audience, and want both of you to give insight as to what you see for Greg and for Congressman Hill, I want you to say what you see from the biblical standpoint. I see God's word jumping off the page that these were witnesses of Belial, witnesses of the devil. They were satanic, demonic witnesses, knowing that what they were saying were absolutely not factual. They were fictional. They were fraudulent. They were lies, trying to impeach the president. And I hear God saying, in not in reality with his speaking, but through his word, that my justice is slow, but it is sure. And just as it took 20 years for justice to finally be meted out for Ahab and Jezebel, God's justice grinds ever so slowly, but it grinds ever so surely. Does that ring a bell? Does that resonate with you, Congressman, your knowledge of the scripture? What do you think of that analogy?
No, you're absolutely right, Dr. Youngblood. We serve a God of righteousness, a God of justice, and he will judge sin. You know, Jeremiah in chapter 12, verse 1, he asked the same question. He said, Lord, why do the wicked prosper? Why do they seem to get away with what they are doing? And then the psalmist who asked that same question provided the answer. Lord, why do the wicked prosper? And he said, and then I saw their end thereof.
Yes.
God is going to bring them to justice. It may look like they're getting away with it now, but he's a God of righteousness. And this will be corrected. When? That's his timetable. We'll
yes.
see. But I do believe that God is going to correct this. If it were me, I would hope it would be much sooner. So soon that this would be corrected.
Yes.
But
yes.
God will do it.
Absolutely. Greg, how do you respond to that scenario?
We have so many Bible stories that we can point to in God's justice and it being so sure and many times quite poetic. I looked at the story of Haman and Mordecai, and Haman hated Mordecai, and he absolutely hated the Jews. He wanted Mordecai put to death. He had actually prepared, set the trap, had the gallows built, and in the end of the story, Haman was hanged on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. There
yes.
was justice. There was justice, but as other places in the scripture point out, if you dig a pit for somebody else, you'll fall into it. These folks, these are words of warning. These are words of warning from the scripture. And for all you folks that think that the hypocrisy is okay, that the leftist perpetual assault attack machine is okay, understand that justice is sure. and that many times that trap that you have set, and you believe the impeachment is wonderful and it's beautiful and it's good, and you can impeach a private citizen and you can impeach for no reason and you can make up stories and impeach, understand you may have built gallows on the which others may be hanged. One thing that I find very interesting today in the way of social media, your Twitter's out there, your Facebook's out there, they'll tell you, well, we're going to fix your false information. They're going to put the screen of shame over your information because, you know, a date or a letter or something was off within it. Therefore, they'll declare the whole thing false. Well, today they need to be putting that screen of shame, that false information label on every single person that indicts Donald Trump as having instigated some insurrection, because today, I'll have you know, he's been acquitted. Therefore, as the law sees it, he's an innocent man. So every one of those stories now, they need to go back and put the screen of shame over him. False information, he didn't do it, he's been acquitted. You can't keep calling a fella guilty once he's been acquitted. There's civil liability associated with that, from what I understand.
Absolutely. And Greg, and for our Congressman Hill, one last thought. I'm looking at the statement by McConnell. It says, what we saw in the Senate today was cowardly group of Republicans who apparently have no options because they are afraid to defend their job, respect the institution in which they serve. Pelosi said of the majority of the GOP who found Trump not guilty of incitement of insurrection. And McConnell had made the statement that he believes that there should still be an option for prosecuting the president. And I find it disingenuous, knowing that President Trump helped get McConnell reelected just in November of 2020. And here he is now taking a stand adamantly opposed to our president. But ladies and gentlemen, the major thing I want us to understand, and Congressman, thank you for being with us today, and Greg, thank you for joining us. The thing that I want us to understand is, just as in R.G. Lee's message that he preached over 1,000 times, payday someday. As Christians, we can rest with the assurance that God is still on the throne, that God is still in control, and God's not going to allow this to go unseen, unheard, and unjudged. He will judge the wicked. And so as a Christian, we can rejoice in the realization that it's still in God's hands. God's still going to have that which is right carried out before the end. Thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1/2 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m., for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.